This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here with Professor Andrew McFadyen of New York University, and welcome to the Jodcast.
Thank you.
So tell us a bit about your high-energy astrophysics.
Well, I work on the dynamics of gas that falls into black holes. And one particular thing I'm interested in is the explosion of very massive stars that are observed to explode as supernovae, which are associated with gamma ray bursts.
So we think we know the mechanics of supernovae. We've got the Chandrasekhar limit and everything. Mm-hmm. You've got your type 1s, your type 2s. Mm-hmm. What more is there to study?
Well, the fact of the matter is we still don't really understand how supernovae explode. And that's a very important question because they're important for many things in astrophysics. In particular, we don't really know how core collapse supernovae explode in detail. And these are massive stars which collapse and we believe emit a lot of their energy as neutrinos. But what isn't understood so well is how the energy from collapse is coupled to the outer layers of the star causing them to explode. That's an observational fact, but in detail we don't fully understand how that happens. So what I work on is actually taking the failure of models to explain the explosions seriously, and I actually consider what would happen if the explosion mechanism failed. And what happens is actually very interesting, and it's not a failure at all. What happens is the black hole forms at the center of the star and starts to swallow the surrounding star. And that can be extremely interesting, especially if the star is spinning, because the gas swirls into a disk of material, collapsing very quickly and at high velocity into a black hole, which is a source of a tremendous amount of energy. And we believe that that's the source of energy for gamma ray bursts, which are some of the brightest explosions in the universe, which you can see to the very edge of the universe when stars were first starting to form.
So at the center of these massive stars, you've suddenly got a very, very dense object.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is bringing the core in.
Yeah, the idea is that the center of the star forms an event horizon. And so it's a black hole. So the gas that's in the star outside of the event horizon is pulled in very quickly. And since it's spinning, it has some angular momentum. It starts to orbit the black hole, and it gradually falls in due to some dissipation in what's called an accretion disk. Mm-hmm. And this process releases an enormous amount of energy, which is thought to power these explosions.
Yeah. And so the energy, is this from jets coming out? This is what pushes the outer layers of the star away?
Right. So what we believe happens is that jets do form, mm-hmm. but the source of energy for the jets is a combination of the gravitational binding energy that's released as gas spirals into a black hole, and also perhaps the extraction of the spin energy of the black hole, because it's rapidly rotating, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of energy that can be tapped from the spin of the black hole. And since there's a lot of gas surrounding the black hole, which has magnetic fields in it, we think that some of the spin energy is extracted by magnetic fields, which are threading both the ergosphere, the region right outside of the horizon of the black hole, and the accretion disk. And that leads to extraction of spin energy of the black hole, which we believe powers relativistic jets, which can escape the surface of the star and power a gamma ray burst. We've done our models of this using relativistic simulations of gas dynamics with pretty good sets of pieces of the physics included, and we find that indeed relativistic jets are capable of escaping a star as long as the star is small enough in radius, and so it's roughly the size of the sun in radius. But it's the core of a massive star, so it's more massive. It's 10 or even 20 times more massive than the sun, so it's a denser star. But the prediction would be that when that star explodes, it would make a certain type of supernova, and that would be a type 1bC supernova. So it's a core collapse of a massive star, but there's no hydrogen in the spectrum. And that's, in fact, that was a prediction, and it's, in fact, been borne out by observations. When people look at gamma ray bursts and see the spectrum of a supernova associated with them, and that this has happened several times, they find that the spectrum is a type 1BC supernova, as had been predicted. That's necessary because if the star were a supergiant, which would make a type 2 supernova or giant, that type of star is too large in radius, and the relativistic jet wouldn't be able to escape the surface of the star on the time scale that gamma ray bursts last. So it all holds together very nicely.
With some supernova, you're left with a neutron star at the end. Mm-hmm. I take it the core collapse for that, it doesn't become dense enough to form the black hole that you're talking about. It's just dense enough to form the neutron star.
Yeah, the idea is that with less massive stars, still very massive, but let's say 20 times the mass of the sun when it's born, that those stars, they do grow a core at their center as the star evolves, but it doesn't grow to the mass that you would need to form a black hole. And so those are smaller mass cores, and it's also thought that because of the structure of the star, that the mechanism that explodes the stars will be successful, although we don't understand how it operates in detail yet. We think that those stars will be able to eject all of the star outside of the small core, so just leaving behind a neutron star. Whereas these more massive stars, which I've studied, have bigger cores, which mm-hmm. are more prone to forming black holes.
And what are the questions you're looking to answer now?
Oh, so I'm working on many different things related to relativistic gas dynamics and accretion into black holes. So I'm looking also at binary black holes at the centers of merged galaxies. And one question is whether they can make light before the two black holes merge and coalesce. This coalescence is going to be a source of gravitational waves, but it's particularly important if you have a counterpart in photons so that you know where and when to look for gravitational waves. So I'm studying the dynamics of gas as it orbits a binary black hole. So this is called a circumbinary accretion disk. And that gas may slip in between the black holes and shock and become heated and might produce a visible counterpart to emerging black hole binary.
Oh, all the very best with all of your research. Thank you very much.
Thank you.